Conversations around generational differences in the workplace have become common across many fields. In person and online, we've seen a lot of discourse about the working style of the younger generation versus older ones, including some potentially contentious issues around workplace expectations and treatment, and healthcare is no exception.
More recently, we found ourselves having interesting conversations with friends and colleagues around these generational differences, and one field that keeps coming up as a hotbed for these discussions is nursing, especially now with the nursing shortage crisis. From an outsider's perspective, the dynamics between seasoned nurses and the new generation are particularly interesting in light of the ongoing challenges facing the profession.
But like we've just alluded to, we're not nurses, and we won't pretend to be any kind of experts. So to better understand how the generational dynamics are impacting the field of nursing and how the new generation of nurses see their futures, we want to ask them.
In this episode, we speak to nursing students in the undergraduate and graduate programs here at the University of Toronto to hear about their training, their goals for the future, the biggest challenges facing the field, and how generational differences are manifesting in their own experiences. My name is Atifa.
And I'm Hannah. Welcome to episode 123 of Raw Talk Podcast.
My name is Vivian Lee. My pronouns are she, her, and I'm in my second year of the Bachelor of Science in Nursing, Lawrence Bloomberg Faculty of Nursing program.
My name is Avery Russell, and my pronouns are she and her. I'm in the Accelerated Nursing program, the BSCN, at the University of Toronto, and I'm in the final semester of second year.
Hi, my name is Kimberly Villacorta. My pronouns are she and her. So my program currently is the Masters of Nursing at the Bloomberg Faculty of Nursing. I am currently doing the Nurse Practitioner stream. I'm in my final year, so I'll be finishing in June.
So my name is Ben Lee. My pronouns are he, him. I'm currently in the Masters of Nursing program, Health Systems Leadership and Administration stream. I'm in year two of the program out of two.
Each nurse has their own unique journey to the profession, whether it's something they wanted to pursue from childhood or something they came to after an impactful experience later in life. We wanted to understand how each of these nurses and nursing trainees found their path to nursing.
So just to kick us off, very broad question for you. What made you want to go into the profession of nursing?
Yeah, so I think definitely similar to a lot of peers, I wanted to go into nursing because it's a profession where I was really interested in wanting to help people and wanting to have a lot of that person-to-person contact. But I actually did my undergraduate degree in health sciences at McMaster first. And when I was graduating from that program, I actually didn't really know what I wanted to do. So I actually took a year off to work at a group home for people with disabilities. And that involved a lot of personal support work as well as kind of similar nursing work as well. So I kind of saw myself in that nursing role and started to be like, okay, maybe this is something that I can do. So at the same time, started applying to nursing schools and gratefully was accepted into U of T. So it's kind of where I am now.
How has your expectation of nursing and the role of nurses changed over the years, even from undergrad to your work experience and now actually being in training to be a nurse?
I talk about this a lot with a lot of my nursing friends. You never really know what nursing is like until you're actually in it. And I really feel that, especially as a student now. I think a lot of the times it's easy for nurses to kind of be relegated to more of like a background role, especially compared to, there's so many other providers out there, right? Like there's doctors, there's OT, there's PT as well. So it's kind of hard to see where nursing fits into all of that. But then I think especially going through the program and going through my clinical placements, I see how much of a presence nursing has in the healthcare system because we're really the ones that are there 24/7 for patients. So we're the first to know if something goes wrong with them or something happens to them.
And do you think the expectations for nurses have changed over the years?
Yeah, I think definitely the expectations for nurses definitely have changed over the years. I think now, especially I think we're seeing with COVID, especially a lot of the times nurses don't just play a role with regards to patients' physical health, but also a lot of the times with COVID, there were those restrictions on, say, families visiting or people who are able to come in and out of the hospital. So nurses were expected to take on more of that emotional role as well, too, of being able to support patients and support families and build that kind of bridge between everyone, and then also between different healthcare providers. So that requires a lot of critical thinking as well as being able to recognize those sort of cues in a logical manner. So being really critical and proactive as nurses is something that I think we'll see becoming even more prevalent as time goes on.
I feel like I kind of came to nursing in a more roundabout way. I wasn't a kid who always wanted to be a nurse. I always knew I wanted to work in healthcare. I just like didn't really know what capacity. I started working in long-term care after my degree, and I saw how nurses were interacting with like patients. I just kind of really loved that role and how they get to spend a lot of time with patients on like a really like personal level. And then I also love to change like jobs every like 3 years or so, and I feel like nursing gives me so much freedom to jump around and kind of like change things up really frequently, which I love. So I don't like, I'll never be bored with nursing, which is a huge plus for me.
And how has your perception of nursing as a profession changed over time? Have your perspectives on the profession changed or your expectations changed?
Yeah, I don't think before I got into this program, I really quite realized how much nurses do, like how wide our scope is just unbelievable that we do so much. And I've really got that over the course of this program, like seeing all the different tasks we can do in all the different fields. So I think that's been a really like just overall eye-opening experience. And then seeing the role that they have within the team, I think that there's like a perception that nurses are just like told what to do from doctors and they just like go and do these tasks. Whereas throughout this program, I've really realized like how collaborative patient care is between like the whole team, which is makes such a lovely work environment. And I think it really just improves healthcare in general.
Could you give me a quick overview of what your journey in nursing has looked like so far?
So nursing is actually my second degree. So what happened was I did a 4-year undergrad at UPT, and then I applied to the 2-year undergrad nursing at the Faculty of Nursing at UPT as well. So it is a second entry program. So I did that for 2 years, and then I went into practice. So I got my Bachelor of Science in Nursing, went into practice, did 3 years of nursing, and then I applied and got into my Master's of Nursing. So that was about 2 years ago. So I'm almost done my program, and the Master's is a 2-year program. So my nursing career started off in the nursing resource team at UHN. So basically what that is that you're filling in the gaps of all the different units. So for example, if you were, if there was a nurse that was short in a surgical unit, I would go there. Or if it was short on a medicine unit, I would go there. So it was a really great opportunity to learn a lot, because I basically went from like a medicine floor, and then I went to like a surgical oncology floor, and I went to like a cardiovascular floor, or like a general surgery floor. So it was really interesting, and it was between Toronto General and Toronto Western, so I got to see a lot. And then after a year or so, I transitioned into critical care. So I was doing that for a little bit over a year. And then I actually went into travel nursing for a couple months. And then I got into school. And then basically, as I was in school, I was also a clinical instructor for nursing students. And then, yeah, I'm just doing my master's. I'm actually, for my doctorate now, I currently work at UHN in the surgical oncology floor, and I also work in the ICU there, but I also do agency nursing, so I do ICUs all around the GTA.
Don't mind, I'll take you back a little bit to before you did your bachelor's and ask you a very broad question. Why did you want to go into nursing?
Personally, I chose this profession because it allowed me to combine my desire to help others and my passion for biology. So as I previously mentioned, I did my undergrad in life sciences. So I did technically global health, but really it was like human biology and then immunology and physiology. So I thought all those courses were so interesting. And then like in my final year at U of T, I was volunteering a lot at the hospital. I was like at St. Mike's Emerge, and then I was also at SickKids on a variety of units there. And I actually was talking to, I also worked at a community center. So I was talking to one of the moms, and she was in an ER. She's in SickKids ER nurse. And then she's like, Kim, what are you going to do when you graduate? And I'm like, I have no idea. Like, I don't know yet. And then she's just like, I think your personality would be fitting for a nurse. And I'm like, why do you say that? And then it's just she noticed like how well I worked with people, and then she knew I was in sciences, so I think it just seemed like a good fit. And then I looked into the faculty of nursing at UT, and then the rest is pretty much history. Like, I've been really involved with nursing, and then what I really like, and it also kind of contributes to my history of nursing, is that like there's so much more that goes beyond bedside nursing. There's so much opportunities in nursing that a lot of people don't know about. Like, everyone traditionally just thinks of bedside nursing, but you could do so much in like, and I'm like the perfect example of that.
I'm curious to ask you this, especially because you had COVID experience as well. Do you feel on whole that nurses are appreciated?
I think there was a strong appreciation of nurses during the pandemic, like when we were deemed as healthcare heroes. But I definitely feel like it kind of faded away to the general public. Just because, I don't know, I guess the hype was going away. I think the general public recognized how much we did, but then it was just kind of like a phase, I guess. But I definitely think like with an interdisciplinary team, like working with the other specialists, like other healthcare professionals recognize the importance of nurses. And I could really only hope that we continue to be respected amongst the other disciplines of healthcare and just continue to have effective communication and mutual respect.
I did initially think I was going to apply for medicine and try medicine as well. But like many eager, you know, life sci students at U of T, it was not so successful on the first run through. And I ended up working in long-term care from 2015, right, a year after I graduated from my first degree, until about 2020 when I became a nurse. So I was actually still working in long-term care during nursing school as well. But it was actually my time in long-term care where I got to see nurses in a much bigger role than just bedside nursing, and how many, many upper level nurse executives started out as nurses. It's actually almost predominantly nurses other than medicine. Nursing is probably number two. So even before I got into nursing, I knew this would be a perfect stepping stone into getting into more of a healthcare career for me. And I entered my first nursing job during, you know, peak pandemic, July, August of 2020 at St. Michael's Hospital. And I've been there since, so now it's been 3.5 years. I haven't really left that role, but I have taken on additional responsibility as a nurse since starting. So I have been trained. We have a step down unit called intermediate care bed, or ICB. So I'm trained for that. It's 2 nurses for 4 patients. So it's sort of like in between the ICU, but not quite. I'm trained to be the charge nurse as well. I was trained maybe 1.5 years ago, so it's been a while. I do it every once in a while, but it is a bit more responsibility and sort of the way you can move in different nursing positions without leaving your current role.
Broadly, do you feel like nurses are appreciated within the healthcare profession?
People who come to us are in really bad car accidents, or bad falls, gunshot stabbings, or they have brain cancer, brain bleeds, spinal injuries, spinal cancers. Pretty traumatic experiences, and helping people get better from those, people, for the most part, tend to be pretty grateful, at least from the patient side and the family side. I've had really, really, I think, rewarding patient and family experiences on my unit in particular, from a sort of maybe or public perspective or other staff perspective, I think we have a great team on our unit. All the allied health, pharmacists, nurse practitioners, physicians, residents, PT, OT, everybody, they're all a really good team. I think they're all very supportive. I think we all appreciate the role that we all commit to the patient care.
Of course, nurses don't work in isolation. A huge part of their roles is to collaborate with other healthcare professionals to provide comprehensive patient care. We asked our guests to give us an insight into the typical workplace dynamics between nurses and their colleagues.
I was wondering if you could speak to a little bit more what the dynamics are like between nurses and other allied health professionals in the acute care setting, such as physicians, nutritionists, OT, PT, and what those interactions and team dynamics are like.
For sure. So as I mentioned, I think we have a really, really, I think, well-oiled sort of team in terms of the allied health and the nurses and the residents. I think I'll speak first just to the allied health. So that includes social work, pharmacy, PTOT, SLP, dietitian, nurse practitioners. They typically work Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, the standard sort of office hours for the most part. And, you know, they each fulfill a very specific focus perspective regarding patient care. But they all typically come to the nurse first to sort of get a quick snapshot or say, like, hey, can I come see this patient? I want to see them assess this, da 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 da. And it's never, I think, they come and assess the patient, they document and they don't tell anyone the results. I think they're very good at communicating what they've done, what the result was, anything that the nurse needs to know. They're really, really good at literally going to the nurse and passing along that information, because it's very important for us, because after hours, we kind of do other jobs. After 6 p.m. on the weekends on stats, you know, we're doing the med recs, we're mobilizing the patient. We might not do an official, you know, swallowing assessment, but we are monitoring them when they eat. We kind of do bits and pieces of all their jobs, just, you know, at a more shallow depth. So I think it is important that we get a piece of their workflow and how they do assessments, and that they update, you know, transfer science for patients, and they update those diets and the textures. And we know, oh, you know, they have this poor kidney function, this medication dose is too high. Like, it's, we learn a lot of things from one another that do translate to the care, which I think is very helpful. Physicians are kind of funny. The residents are the ones who typically you'll page when there's an issue with the patient. And the ones who are typically operating on patients, obviously being supervised by older residents or senior residents, as well as their staff. When you catch a resident in their year one or year two, I think they are very understanding of what they don't know. And that a nurse who has more experience, who's been on that unit for a lot longer, obviously kind of knows the deal, knows what the workflows are and what post-op antibiotics, antiemetics, the sort of standard things that need to be ordered for a patient. And I think lately we've been really lucky that the new residents have been very, very understanding that even though they have the MD after their names, that you might be really good at, you know, operating on a patient, but the rest of it is kind of nursing specialized. And they've recognized that we kind of know what we're doing for the most part. We do practice a lot of autonomy on my unit in particularly. We order things under the physician's names a lot. Typically without having to page them, which is officially out of our scope of practice as a registered nurse. But, you know, if we had to page a doctor every single time we needed blood work or an ECG or an in and out catheter order for a patient, they wouldn't be able to operate. They'd be constantly fielding pages for nurses. So I think we have developed a very good trust with our residents, our nurse practitioners as well, to order things that we know is what they would want to order.
It's definitely all situational. I worked on units where you could really see the teamwork on the unit, and like the interprofessional collaboration is amazing. Very situational, because sometimes you do have those moments where you have like a physician that you get like bad vibes from, like they don't really value your opinion as much, especially now I'm transitioning into the nurse practitioner role. There's kind of, I think the nurse practitioner role is still kind of establishing themselves in healthcare. So that's why it's all just dependent on the person, not really the team. I think it's just really individually people's perspectives and opinions on it.
As non-nurses, we are by far the most familiar with typical bedside nursing, but so many different opportunities exist in the field, and the new generation of nurses are capitalizing on the breadth of career paths available to them with their nursing degrees. We asked our guests to share their thoughts on their future careers and what, if any, non-conventional roles they were considering.
Do you have kind of an idea of what your next steps would look like career-wise or different options you have within the career?
Yeah, so I feel like I'm kind of a little bit all over the place. I came into this program wanting to be an OR nurse, and that's still like really heavy on my mind, wanting to go do the OR certification and kind of do that. I'm really intrigued by the ER. I got to spend half a day there during my last placement, and I really liked that that kind of environment. So I'm also thinking about doing that. But throughout the program, I've just really found a love of wound care. I find it really intriguing, and it's kind of like its own art form. So I'm trying to figure out how to work that in to my career somehow.
Have you, as a junior nurse or trainee, considered unconventional nursing roles, things like academia or going into clinical trials and research or things like travel nursing?
So I haven't really thought about academia or research too much. I think I'm one of the only people I know that didn't do any research in my undergrad or anything like that. Academia-wise, I actually think I would really enjoy being a clinical instructor, like for nursing students. I think that I would really enjoy that actually in a couple of years when I have enough skills and knowledge to do that. And travel nursing is like a really interesting thing that I would love to do in the future if it's still an industry that exists. I'm not too sure how things look, because I know like in the beginning of the pandemic when everything was crazy, they were offering these huge contracts, which is why everyone went to go do it. And I'm not too sure how that's kind of looking or how that's going to evolve with some time.
I'm someone who goes back and forth every day about what I'm going to do. I have some peers who are very like clean cut, and they know exactly like this clinical placement wasn't for me, I'm going to go into this. So some of them have very clear ideas of what they're going to pursue. I think I'm still very much on the fence. There are definitely aspects of each clinical placement that I've gone through that I love this, but maybe I don't love this as much. So I kind of wish I could pick and choose and make kind of the perfect nursing specialty for myself. So that's being maybe in like an ICU setting where you have that one patient, you can really focus on their needs. And I love working with both kids and families to facilitate that sort of nursing care as well too. So I go back and forth each day about whether am I going to do adult, am I going to do pediatrics. But I think that's the whole I'm going into my final consolidation placement. So I think that's kind of the point of hopefully helping me figure that out eventually. But that's a great thing also about nursing, where there's so many specialties, and we're in literally every setting in the healthcare system. So if I go into adult first and find that's not really for me, then I could easily switch into pediatrics and then pursue that. And so there's a lot of flexibility and broadness in our role, which is really nice. Nursing is such a broad role that you can go into some of, you don't have to do bedside nursing forever. You can go into some of those more unconventional roles that we're seeing more of nowadays. I think for myself personally, definitely starting out in bedside nursing is something that I would pursue personally, just because I want that clinical experience and being able to learn how to, for example, coordinate my care among different patients. That's something that's really important for me, to have a strong nursing foundation. But I'm not opposed to pursuing avenues like nursing research later on. Even now, I'm a work study student alongside my studies. And so I actually work with my faculty, was one of my faculty professors, to facilitate nursing research. And so that's something that I do want to keep up, and maybe in a part-time capacity.
Do you know like how easy it is to work as a nurse in other countries like the US as a nurse that train in Toronto?
So it's really great. That's also kind of one of the reasons why I chose nursing is because of our licensing exam, where we're taking that NCLEX or next generation NCLEX. Our licensing exam is good for all of North America. So that's how nurses from both Canada and the US can easily kind of swap back and forth because our credentials are kind of the same. So with that being said, I think definitely there's like a lot of transferable skills from what I hear though, most from like clinical instructors.
So you're nearing the end of your grad program right now. Do you have an idea of what your next career steps will look like? You've obviously had a lot of different experiences in your career already, but I was wondering also if you were considering maybe unconventional roles in the future. You've done travel nursing, which is a little bit unconventional. I was curious if you had thought about academia, being involved in clinical trials, anything kind of beyond the scope of bedside nursing.
Yeah, so my master's program allows me to kind of be in a different role from nursing. I don't think a lot of people know what nurse practitioners are. To be honest, I didn't really know what a nurse practitioner was until I got into nursing school. But basically, right now, currently, I'm a registered nurse. I'm an RN. And you get RNs if you have a Bachelor of Science in Nursing or a Bachelor of Nursing. Then you have to take a licensing exam that essentially deems you to be an RN. For a nurse practitioner, it's like what people don't get or understand is like it's a completely different role. Like it is, I have to do another board exam, and then I'm going to be, it's either called like your nurse practitioner delegation or your RN extended class. So not everyone could be a nurse practitioner. You have to do your master's and then you have to do another licensing exam, essentially. So I'm really excited to start my role as a nurse practitioner. Basically what differentiates us from being RNs is that we're allowed to prescribe and we're allowed to diagnose. So we kind of have that ability and that scope of practice to do so. So it's a lot of learning that I'm doing right now. And I feel like as I transition into that role, I'm going to be learning a lot. It's been a huge learning curve, but I'm really excited.
We asked our guests to share their thoughts on some of the biggest challenges that nurses are currently facing, including challenges specifically impacting trainees.
It's sort of macro level nursing issues that I think are pretty well researched and well understood, at least from the policy and governmental level. So I think nurse wages is probably the biggest one. Thankfully, you know, with Bill 124 being overturned, most nurses who work in Ontario are under ONA, the Ontario Nurses Association, which is the primary union for most, I think at least hospital nurses in Ontario. We got a pretty good new collective agreement that has I think 11% over 4 years for wage increases. But even with that, I think it is still lagging behind inflation quite a bit because nurses' wages have been frozen or slowed for at least 2 decades, if not more. And travel nursing has not really stopped. It is much more alluring to become an agency nurse, stay in Toronto and work at, you know, 4 or 5 different Toronto hospitals and make double or triple what a typical staff nurse would make. And the government, I think it's well documented that the government is still willing to pay these stopgap measures, even though it's costing the government so much more money, as opposed to just paying nurses who are full-time staff members more money. I think that is sort of an obvious, but maybe hard to stomach answer for those in the government or those who are trying to balance the governmental books. I think another big hurdle, and this is mainly for new nurses, is how unprepared nurses are for, I think, the nitty-gritty of the work. I think U of T in particular does a very good job of, you start in clinical placements from your very first semester and you go through clinical the entire time. We are an accelerated program, it's only 2 years, but you get shot into different clinical environments to try almost all of it. And you see, you know, what it is really like by having so much clinical. I think a lot of nurses go into their first job and get really overwhelmed with the amount of work and the, you know, multitasking and the competing directions that you get pulled in as a nurse. And that's why so many nurses quit the profession early. I think they are not prepared for the intensity. The third one that's not necessarily an issue, but sort of like a point that could be contentious, but I think is a good step, is nurse prescribing. So nurse prescribing, at least for registered nurses, is sort of, I think, on its way in terms of legislation. There's certain colleges now that offer additional education or coursework that you can take, and then you're allowed to prescribe a few certain items. I think it's some over-the-counter stuff, some vaccines, like UTI, antibiotics, a few things like that. I can't remember off the top of my head. I know I'm very eager to do it because in some cases I'm already ordering them in the hospital, and it would be nice to have it officially under my scope. Like, I know what the dose of Tylenol is. It's the same dose that we give to all our patients. It sucks to have to page a doctor to do it officially. But I also know some of the older nurses, or maybe nurses who've been nursing just for a little bit longer, do have that hesitation to take on responsibility of prescribing without the pay to go with it, right? Because prescribers typically make more money, and that will become prescriber, then we make the same. So that there is an inherent risk, but without the associated compensation, which is a bit, I'm not 100% sure how I personally even feel about it yet. I like it from a workflow perspective, but from a risk perspective, I'm not sure yet. But those are my three big ones probably.
In my personal experience, the clinical experiences can really vary depending on the nurse. I've had some really great experiences where nurses can really take the time to show you the ropes and really want you to maximize the learning opportunities. I've also had some more unfortunate experiences where maybe my preceptors aren't necessarily as willing to show me those learning opportunities, but I think I also have to be understanding of the fact that they're still dealing with full patient loads and they have 4 to 5 patients to tend to. So a lot of the times it's not possible within the constraints of the healthcare system. They're just doing the best they can. I think for myself personally, I see kind of two main concerns based on my personal clinical experiences. So I know specifically with the University of Toronto, our faculty is really struggling to find even enough clinical placements to offer to our students, just because of, and this is a trickle down from the nursing shortages and just not having enough preceptors. And so I'm finding, especially with our faculty, students are having to travel further to get to the certain placement sites. So that is one of the challenges I think that's affecting our learning, as well as the quality of our learning as well too, especially clinically. And then I guess the second concern I can kind of foresee for our education is the fact that I think we can do more with addressing some of the health disparities that we're seeing, and how we're incorporating that into our education. And I mean this specifically with both racialized and Indigenous patients. I know those are becoming more prevalent topics, and there's more awareness about the disparities that these specific groups sort of face in healthcare. But I think definitely still within our faculty, there's a lack of that representation in our curriculum. And I think it's really important for us to emphasize starting from the learner level, because this is going to be the foundation of how we practice as nurses. So it's just about like students continuing to advocate for that, us to be continually aware of that, and then finding tangible ways of implementing solutions into our actual nursing care.
Overall, my experience has actually been really positive. I feel like you kind of get two reactions when you show up on a unit. It's either like everyone kind of groans and doesn't necessarily want you to be there, because as a student, you are kind of adding on to the nurse's plate because now they're having to walk you through everything that they're doing. Or if you're doing something, you need to be supervised and that you need extra help. So it is kind of adding on to their already like heavy workload. Or people are really excited to see you because they see it in a way where like you're also there to help, which is a really nice thing to see when people are like, oh, like, we love students, like, this is great, and you can kind of help out the team to work better, which is really great. On the flip side of that positive, though, I feel like because staffing can be so challenging, you kind of get stuck in a place where you're given, like, tasks to do because the nurses don't have time, which is fine. We love helping out. Unfortunately, sometimes, though, that does mean that students miss out on other, like, skills that we could be practicing, like catheters or just, like, other, like, wound care, like other higher, like, nursing tasks, because we're trying to help out with these other things. So staffing, I feel like, does have a bit of an effect on the learning environment. You kind of become an unpaid staff member in that way. Instead of being, like, supernumerary, you're being, like, you need to be there, like, you're being utilized in that way, which is kind of, like, a hard balance to find.
One more question kind of on this vein. We've touched on, as you've spoken, like, a couple of these bigger challenges that are currently around. I'm curious what you, as a nursing student, think might be helpful in terms of addressing some of these challenges, whether big or small.
I feel like it's such, like, a complex, question that can be addressed in so many ways. I think that they're trying to, like, they've increased seats in nursing programs. So our nursing program specifically for the year I entered was increased by 20 seats by the government, like, increased the number of seats and provided funding to the university for that. And then for this past September, they increased it by an additional 10 seats. And they're doing that to try to help, obviously, create more nurses to try to keep them in the profession longer. But I think the problem with only increasing the seats is that it doesn't help with retention, because not all of these students are going to graduate. And even the ones that do, whether they stay in the profession for a year, 2 years, 20 years, I think really depends on, like, the working conditions. So the universities can pump out as many nurses as they want, but if we don't also address hospital settings and, like, the working conditions, no one's going to stay in the profession long term, which I think we've really seen, like, on the units that we've been on. I hardly ever see nurses who've been in the profession for 30 plus years anymore, which I think pre-pandemic was more the norm. Now I see nurses all the time who are, like, training me and training other who have been in the profession for a year, 6 months. So they're all still on new, they're new grads, and they are still trying to get their footing, yet they're training the next new grads.
Yeah, I definitely think one of the biggest challenges for nurses right now is just improving work conditions. I think short staffing has been a big issue since the pandemic. Like, I remember when I first started, people were having trouble finding jobs, like, because it was just like it was just hard. It was, like, kind of competitive. But then with the pandemic, like, especially now too, like, there is jobs everywhere. You could get hired literally anywhere you want to. If you want to keep switching around, like, people can. I've seen my friends transition from adult care to pediatrics just because they just need it. Like, they need staff. And then also, like, I'm agency staff, and I don't know if people understand what agency staffing is, but basically I work with an agency, and then if they're short staff, they kind of ask you to come in. So it's kind of like the nursing resource team, but instead of two hospitals, it's, like, all over the GTA. So the use of agency staff of the past couple years have been an all-time high in probably everywhere, but especially in Ontario. Same with the use of travel nurses as well, just to kind of address this short staffing. But it's not, it won't last forever, because this things are, like, agency and travel nursing is expensive to the health care system. So what they've been trying to do is, like, hiring new people. But since, for example, in ICU, hiring new grads to be in a critical care unit has its own challenges, just because, you know, we're not trying to teach new grads of how to nurse. We're trying to teach them of how to use critical thinking. And I feel like sometimes, like, out of nursing school, it gets a little difficult to have that critical thinking. But I think it's important to have new hires, whether they're a new grad or not. But I definitely think there should be better supports and, like, improved training opportunities and education. And, like, not just for new grad, for, like, everyone, for all nurses, because as I previously mentioned, like, healthcare is continuously changing, and I think nurses need to be educated about these changes and these practices. And then another way to address just, like, these kind of working conditions is just to create a very supporting environment and creating a work culture that, like, is wants you to achieve. Like, I think work culture makes or breaks a unit.
Okay, our final question is, if you had to tell your senior colleagues or seasoned professionals in the field of nursing one thing about the newer generation of nurses, what would you want them to know?
I think I would want to thank them, because I do want to acknowledge a lot of the work that they themselves have already put into the nursing profession. It's not easy to work through huge obstacles like COVID and all these other previous pandemics or epidemics that we've seen in the past too. So I think much respect to them. I think, as speaking about this kind of next generation of nursing that I'm coming up with, I would just want to say, like, let us learn those lessons that you already know, but also give us that space as well to make room for new changes and new ideas that we can bring to the profession. The worst part about any sort of healthcare profession is if we're complacent and we're just okay with kind of the status quo. I think, again, like I mentioned, a lot of the issues that we're facing in our healthcare system are really big systemic issues. But I think it starts from one person, for example, speaking up or taking initiative with their team, or is pursuing those leadership roles within their larger healthcare team. So just making space and being open to those changes and the possibility of improvements in the healthcare system.
I think something that's really interesting with the new generation of nurses is we're really big on, like, boundaries in a way. I think the perception of our group is that we're complainers and we don't want to work hard and all that kind of stuff. But I think that the way we come across that way is because we're trying to advocate for better working conditions and, like, better treatment of nurses in general. And we're less tolerant of being mistreated, whether that be by patients, by managers, hospitals. Like, I think we're very aware of how the system runs, and we don't want to tolerate being taken advantage of in the same way, where I think in previous generations people were like, oh, it's just the way it is, like, you just kind of need to deal with it, move on. Where as we're really trying to advocate for big change that benefits all of us. So I think that's kind of a big thing that's misunderstood about our generation. Like, it's not that we don't want to work hard, and it's not that we're not committed to nursing. It's just we're trying to progress the profession and try to get just trying to make everything better, because better treatment for nurses is better treatment for allied staff and for better patient care. And I think we're just trying to move the profession forward in that way. And if we could get everyone on board, then I think we would be stronger as a profession as well. There's, like, the nurses eat their young, like, stereotype. And I actually have been really fortunate not to really experience that too much, but I know a lot of my colleagues have. So I think that if we could just maybe do away with that, that would also be kind of nice. But I've been really, really fortunate to have some great mentors in my academic career so far, which has been really phenomenal.
Yeah, I think it's important for them to know that new generation brings perspective. I think this generation is more tech savvy. They're more open to talking about mental health and its importance. And I could really see the grind in this generation. Like, this generation is continuously seeking out opportunities. Like, I've met so many travel nurses, like, young travel nurses, that basically are doing other stuff outside of bedside nursing, just because, like, with the use of technology, they are finding these opportunities. And then I definitely hope that we could leave. There's this saying that nurses eat their young. It's a culture, apparently. I don't like seeing it. I don't usually see it that like the older nurses are kind of mean to the newer generation. But I just hope that we could have more collaboration between the generations, because the older nurses have so much to teach the younger ones, and the younger ones have so much to teach the older ones.
I think the number one biggest thing would be that although they are newer, I know they come from a newer generation, I think ultimately our nurse training is for the most part fundamentally the same. I think at the end of the day, we are all still nurses and we all will have the capacity to be good nurses, but we maybe come with just slightly different strengths. I think there's a lot of opportunity for nurses to support each other and their strengths and weaknesses just based on the generational differences. And that newer nurses now, I think, are coming in with a lot more expectation of what a good working environment is. I think they, and this actually starts in nursing school, I think they've done a really good job of encouraging nurses to view themselves, you know, as a respectable profession that should have safe working environments, safe patient-staff ratios, good pay. A lot of that happens in school and then sort of manifests when you work in a place that's maybe not so good. But I think the new nurses do realize that there are, as we've mentioned, you know, greener pastures in other places. And if you want to keep nurses at the bedside or in the crucial areas that they do work, that you're going to kind of have to set the bar a little higher if you want to keep them happier. I think nurses were happier with shittier, to be quite honest, for many, many years. And we're kind of not going to stand for it anymore. We expect a good team. We expect good conversation. We expect good work environments. And it sucks to say like that's a big ask, but they're not. They're kind of the basis of most places of employment. But I think we're just catching up in terms of what is fair for us.
As always, a very special thanks to our guests, Vivian Lee, Avery Russell, Ben Lee, and Kimberly Villacorta. And of course, thank you for listening.
This episode was hosted by Atifa and Hannah. Angela, Hannah, and Kayvon conducted the interviews. Rhino was our audio engineer. Anissa helped with episode promotions, and Atifa was our executive producer. Keep an eye out for an article written by our science writer, Elizabeth.
Before we wrap up, we would like to acknowledge that Toronto was founded on the traditional territory of many Indigenous nations, including the Mississaugas of the Credit, the Anishinaabe, the Chippewa, the Haudenosaunee, and the Huron-Wendat. This meeting place is still home to many First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples, and we are grateful for the opportunity to live and work on this land.
We would also like to acknowledge the long history of science and medicine as tools of oppression against Indigenous peoples and the barriers to healthcare that are still experienced by Indigenous peoples in Canada today.
Raw Talk Podcast is a student presentation of the Institute of Medical Science and the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Toronto. The opinions expressed on the show are not necessarily those of the IMS, the Faculty of Medicine, or the university. To learn more about the show, visit our website, rawtalkpodcast.com, and stay up to date by following us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Raw Talk Podcast. Support the show by using the affiliate link on our website when you shop on Amazon. Also, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcasts, and rate us 5 stars. Until next time, keep it raw.